While the Iran story dominates the front pages, Ukraine has been running one of the most methodical military campaigns we've seen in this conflict, and it's specifically targeting Russian fuel logistics. Ukraine struck a dozen more Russian tankers as part of its Crimea fuel campaign, which is designed to strangle the energy supply chain that keeps Russian military operations in Crimea viable. This is economically precise warfare. You don't need to destroy the army if you can starve it of fuel.
The tanker campaign is strategically elegant for a few reasons. First, it forces Russia into a defensive posture it didn't plan for. Protecting maritime logistics infrastructure across a large geographic area is expensive and resource-intensive. Second, each tanker struck raises insurance premiums and makes commercial operators increasingly reluctant to service Russian military supply routes, which amplifies the damage beyond the direct strike count. And third, it creates pressure on Russia to divert naval assets to convoy protection rather than offensive operations.
Russia's response, interestingly, has been to formally re-register a significant portion of its shadow tanker fleet under the Russian flag. According to data from the Kyiv School of Economics, the share of Russian-flagged vessels in what was previously a sanctions evasion shadow fleet has nearly quadrupled. This is a significant tactical shift. The shadow fleet existed precisely because operating under third-party flags gave Russian oil exports a degree of deniability and made interception diplomatically complicated. Moving to the Russian flag suggests Moscow has concluded that maintaining that fiction is no longer worth the operational complexity.
There's a kind of resignation built into that decision, Marcus. When you stop hiding the ship under a Liberian or Palau flag and put the Russian tricolor on it, you're essentially acknowledging that the international community already knows what you're doing. So you might as well control the asset directly and take the sanctions hit explicitly. It also may have legal advantages for Moscow in terms of naval protection doctrine under international maritime law. A Russian-flagged vessel has a cleaner basis for requesting Russian naval escort.
The Pentagon's simultaneous announcement of the MAST modular aircraft program is directly connected to lessons from this conflict. The Defense Innovation Unit is explicitly soliciting designs for cheap, mass-produced drones that can overwhelm enemy defenses through volume rather than individual survivability. The MQ-9 Reaper, which costs roughly $32 million per aircraft, has suffered significant attrition in the Middle East. Ukraine has demonstrated that cheap drones can degrade expensive air defense systems through sheer numbers. It's the same logic applied to attacking tankers and attacking air defense radar.
The implications for defense procurement are significant. For decades, the American military doctrine favored exquisite, expensive, multi-role platforms, the F-35 being the canonical example at around $80 million per aircraft for the baseline variant. What the Ukraine conflict and the Middle East losses are demonstrating is that swarm doctrine, even with individually less capable assets, can impose disproportionate costs on adversaries. The challenge for the Pentagon is that defense contractors built around producing 200 aircraft at high margins have very different economic models than producing 20,000 drones at minimal margin.
And there's a supply chain readiness question embedded in all of this. Mass production of small drones at military specification requires a manufacturing base that doesn't currently exist at scale in the United States. You can solicit designs all you want, but if the answer is that you need 50,000 units a year and the current industrial capacity can produce 3,000, the doctrine change is getting ahead of the logistics. China, by contrast, already has civilian drone manufacturing at scale through companies like DJI, which is why the U.S. military banned DJI equipment in 2021. That industrial base can be militarized relatively quickly.
The Crimea fuel campaign also connects to Russia's broader energy posture. Russia moving the shadow fleet to its own flag has implications for global oil markets. Sanctioned Russian crude had been finding its way to India and China through that shadow fleet infrastructure. Making those flows more visible and more directly Russian-flagged may give secondary sanctions enforcement new teeth. That's worth watching over the next few weeks as Treasury and state decide how aggressively to pursue those leads.